conversation from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hello, Nashville. This is Ben Tankard, and you're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, right here on 88.1 FM WFSK at Fisk University.
Thank you so very much, and hello, Nashville. It is going to be a little warmer for us today. And I think, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Get out of these 30s. That sounds really good. Kind of overcast, though. Overcast, and it's not too bad. 36 is not too bad, because we've seen it much worse than that. But we're heading out of the month of January, and last Sunday in January, it's hard to believe the month is gone already. But we'll be talking Black History Month here shortly, and we hope you'll tune in for our Black History Month programming, and we'll hear more about that later. Anyway, what's up? How are you?
Good morning to you.
You well?
I am well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm still standing.
Okay.
And that's my story, and
amen.
I'm sticking to it.
Amen.
And it is Pastor's Roundtable.
Yes, it is.
For the month of January and the first one in 2020. So we're going to have the table fully set today, and that's why we're starting the roundtable at this early time versus starting it at 7:30, because we are expecting to have three guests in the studio with us today. And so I know so many people that talk to me personally have said how much they enjoy listening to the various pastors in Nashville. And some of them they've never heard from before, get different opinions, different churches, etc., and they get a lot of information they wouldn't otherwise know. So that's what our Pastor's Roundtable is all about. And this roundtable has been on the 411 show for almost the entire 411 show 19-year run. So, you know, God is good. We done made the rounds in Nashville, but there's still more preachers out there. So don't be surprised if you get an email or a phone call, or if you want your pastor to be on the Pastor's Roundtable, contact us here at the station, and we'll see to it. Now, I have two in here now who have been on the show before, on the roundtable before, but I haven't seen them in a minute. So I always have to get your first time. Oh, my. Reverend Kimbrough, this is your first time. Scoot up closer to the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great.
This is your first roundtable?
This is my first roundtable.
Oh, amen. Well, we have such good conversations, and Reverend Ralph Thompson is here, and he was here, what, a couple of years ago?
Yes, I was. Good morning.
How are you need doing? To do a better job of keeping up with y'all. 2 years since I've seen you. I mean, that's not good. The closest thing to seeing Reverend Thompson is his brother works on the second floor. So I see the family all the time.
I bet they look alike.
Yeah, they do. They do. They do.
Get a better version with him.
Now, your brother Isaac, both of you all have worked for years in education.
Yes, correct.
So is that a family trait going there?
Not necessarily. We had our older brother was in music, and we had another brother that kind of Had a pastime of technology and so forth. No, it's kind of spread out.
Okay.
My son's in NASCAR and his daughter's in nursing.
Oh, so, Lord. Okay.
You know, it's all over the place.
Yeah, definitely. And you have many, many years in the Metro school system and in education.
Yes, ma'am.
How long were you in the system?
33 years.
Oh, wow.
33 years. I've been retired now 8. It doesn't seem like that.
I know it does not.
Time flies when you're having fun or not.
Yeah, that's 33
right.
years. Well, and I'm going to get to church news, y'all, in a minute. But I'm just curious about some things because you spent 33 years in the school system. Is it changing? Is it better? Is it the same? What do you?
I think the reality is that you have some better, some that it's changing, some that's not, and some things that still need to be worked on.
Yeah.
In public education, you're going to always have some issues because of dollars and cents and people's perspectives on public education.
Yeah.
But the superintendent that we have in there now, Dr. Battle, I think is doing a great job, particularly under the circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. And the system is it to the point that, you know, some people were saying during the selection or the looking around of an interim that we need to have two superintendents and we need to break up the Davidson County. And what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not so much for that. I can't say it's a bad thing, but I don't know that I'm for that. I think you can get one good person and some people to work with that person and build a team, and I think you could do an effective job.
Okay.
I think if you put a good staff around Dr. Battle and kind of let her go and do her thing, I think she'd be fine.
Excellent. Now, that is Reverend Ralph Thompson of Howard Congregational Church. Also in the room is someone who I've been knowing for a long time. I know the family and everything. Reverend Robin Kimbrough, she's a chaplain at Meharry Medical College and across the street with our friends at Meharry. And Reverend Robin, how are you, darling?
Good morning.
You doing well?
I'm doing well.
You're looking good today. You must have your church outfit on.
Well, I am, after this opportunity, I will be going over to the Elam Center, which is located at Meharry Medical College, and I do wraparound chaplain services for the residential patients at the Elam Center. So it's really exciting to be able to work with persons who are struggling with alcohol and drug addiction.
Certainly.
And to help them to talk about their faith and how God has played, how God can play a role in their recovery journey and how issues of shame, guilt, and sin sometimes can
exacerbate the addiction.
Or encourage the person
most
to
definitely.
Use. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have, this morning, we have group. So I'll be doing a spiritual group with the men and women at the Elam Center.
Well, that's a blessing for them to have you there, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. They're a blessing to me. I've learned so much from them and still learning. I do want to add that I just got married.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, oh, my goodness.
So I still have.
And you got that smile going, too.
Thank you. So my last name I'm phasing into is Robin Harris Hayes.
Okay.
But I'm still using the Kimbrough because everybody knows me as Robin Kimbrough.
Why don't you change this thing on me? Harris Hayes.
Harris Hayes.
Okay.
My husband is Arnold Hayes.
So next time I see you, I'm going to have to fix it. But you
I'm still riding with the camera.
I know you. I know. For sure, because I've as many years as I've known you. Well, that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And when was this you got married?
I eloped on October 1st, and then we had a nice Pigeon Forge, and we had formal wedding at Clark Memorial United Methodist Church, and a wonderful fun reception at Meharry Medical College.
Oh, that's wonderful. Were family like, y'all should have told us?
Well, we kind of were. It was kind of on the low.
Okay.
So yeah. So yeah. So you should have him on. His work is around community oversight now. He and Sekou Franklin do a lot of work around police safety issues.
Definitely.
So
well, that's something that you know, I'll stay on, you know, and the advocates know who I am. They know this show because they've been on it or send me information and
absolutely.
You know, I got the history doing that. And I'm surprised I haven't met him.
Yeah. I'll introduce you. I'll make sure.
Do that.
I'll get that done.
Do that.
But I have some other exciting work that I'm doing. I have a nonprofit that I've started. It's called NIA DSV. It's the National Interfaith Alliance to Address Domestic and Sexual Violence.
Oh.
So it is a very budding, early phase nonprofit focused on working with domestic violence victims and perpetrators of violence through a lens
through
of faith.
Through the community of faith?
Through faith and how victims sometimes even stay in abusive relationships because of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we talk about issues of faith as issues of safety and accountability mm-hmm. through the lens mm-hmm. of faith? Because mm-hmm. A lot of this is connected to one's understanding mm-hmm. of guilt, mm-hmm. shame, and sin.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. kind of developing a network of clergy and chaplains to even help with victims who are really struggling with faith issues
mm-hmm.
and deciding how to respond to their abusive situation, or providing chaplain services to perpetrators of mm-hmm. violence to help them to have a better understanding of accountability through a lens of faith.
So if someone's in the in your congregation and experiencing this, would this network, would the other pastors in town know, and I'm going to look at you too, Reverend Thompson, in this question, would they be informed through the formation of this, that this is what you all specialize in? Because I see territorial stuff in happening all the time.
I agree with you. My goal is to train clergy on domestic violence and help them not to feel so pressured to respond,
mm-hmm.
but to let them know that they can tell their church member about resources uh-huh. available, including the DSV, to try to help the victim understand
uh-huh.
their faith base.
Yeah.
A lot of pastors do not have a domestic violence context.
That's correct. Right, Reverend Thompson?
Sometimes, meaning to do well,
uh-huh.
They create even more safety issues for the victim.
Okay.
And I'll say that again. Even though they mean to do well
yes.
and to say all the preachy cliches to the victim, or to the perpetrator,
uh-huh.
it can sometimes increase the lethality of the situation for the victim. So,
So
my goal is to provide some faith-based training, and I've already done so with the Administrative Office of Courts. I've trained in Memphis and Chattanooga and Gallatin with the Tennessee Administrative Office of the Courts. So that's really my goal, is to really focus on how clergy can have better language when it comes to working with victims of domestic violence.
Well, it'd be interesting in that if you had a component for what if the victim is a spouse of a person in the community of faith.
Absolutely.
Because you know things happen.
The victim is a spouse of a person who is a leader in the church, whether they're a deacon or a trustee or a pastor. Also, when the perpetrator is also going to the same church as the spouse and has created this image of perfection,
right.
And then when the victim cannot even express how they're feeling.
Yeah.
But most importantly, my goal is to talk more about how the victim kind of perceives God in all this.
Amen.
And how they perceive their relationship and understanding of uh-huh. God in all this, so they can make better choices in these kind of situations.
Okay. Now, Reverend Thompson, the need is in Nashville. We've had some tremendous domestic violence issues here in this city. How would you address that?
Well, I was just listening to, and congratulations again, Pastor Kimbrough, and absolutely, I think there's a need to kind of spread the word,
uh-huh.
Because I think this whole thing, and you're right, I think sometimes as pastors we can get a little preachy with all great intentions, but that can feed the fire sometimes, so it would be an interesting situation to kind of get it out. And it's interesting because the victim sometimes, their perception of God, you know, does God want me to take this?
Right.
You know, why is God doing this to me?
Right.
Or why did God place me in this situation? Yeah. I think you have to get those things out.
Or why won't God help me?
Yes,
right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or why is God helping my batterer and not me?
Right. Also, this morning we have a full house, so I couldn't wear my usual T-shirt and slouchy pants. I had to at least clean up just a little bit. Reverend Paula Smith of Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church is in the studios. And Reverend Smith, thank you so much for being here. You are new, basically, to Nashville, or new
actually,
to Gordon.
I'm new to Gordon. And thank you so much for inviting me to come and share with you. I've been at Gordon since July 1st.
Okay. Well, that's
new. But
have
been in the Nashville area 12 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, new to the church. But she's never been on the show, so I got two newbies today. We got two. The ladies. Yeah, we got the ladies today. And Pastor's Roundtable. As I told you the day that we met, that we had a very good conversation about issues for the community and issues that the that many of us are wrestling with and grappling about, and that's essentially what I do, this get together monthly here on the show, because I want the community. You don't know who's listening, and everybody doesn't go to the same church. Amen. People go to churches all over and denominations all over, and some don't go at all. So, you know, to hear from you as some of the leaders in the community and hear differing voices. So that's the purpose of the creation of the Pastors Roundtable for many, many years, monthly get together. It's my first one in 2020. And 19 years, the show is celebrating 19 years. So God,
wow.
God
congratulations! Yeah.
That ain't nothing but Jesus. Okay,
right.
That's the Savior. And started on a Sunday, and stayed in the Sunday frame. I refuse to change my Sunday focus, and I'm glad that where I am, that I'm allowed to. Say, bless the Lord, and amen, I love you, Jesus. I can say it, you know, without no fear of reprisal, because, you know, I'm in an educational nonprofit radio station at a historically black college, amen. And we know at HBCUs there's a lot of on your knees and asking the Lord, please, Lord. I know it's a lot that goes on at HBCUs. I already know, and Harry, y'all ain't no different over there either, okay, Robin? I know, and this is like the prayer circle, TSU down the street, Harry here, and us over here. And, you know, if Fisk is ever on the altar, Fisk, so I got it. I didn't understand that when I first got here, but I got it now, y'all.
I
got it.
I'm like, ever on the altar. I graduated from Fisk.
Oh, did you?
I'm class of 92.
Oh, so you know ever on the altar, don't
yes.
you? Okay. And you do stay on it. I mean, you literally do. Anyway, we are happy to have you listening this morning to the January Pastors Roundtable, the first one for 2020. Now, when I come back from the break, I'm going to reset the table and introduce everyone, and then we'll find out where their houses of worship, etc., are located, what time if you want to go to somebody's stuff today. You want to go, then start listening, and then say, yep, I like what they said, I'm going to such and such. That's how you can get encouraged by tuning in this morning. So we thank you, Nashville, for rising and shining. But we thank the Lord for putting us all here. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is singer-songwriter Mesa. Her latest release is entitled Music for Your Soul. Don't miss the WFSK Feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays. Enjoy some prime cuts, an interview with the Artist of the Week, and you can win some brand new music right here on Jazzy 88, we're Nashville's jazz station.
I see the rainbow in the sky. I see the twinkle in your eye, and I know.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville Public Library. Get help with your New Year's resolutions at Nashville Public Library. They have everything from Zumba and yoga to cooking classes and smoking support groups. You can connect to the best health websites for information you can trust, and it's all free. Learn more at library.nashville.org/bewell at NPL. That's library.nashville.org/bewell@NPL.
What if I could tell you that a full-blown wildfire was going to occur tomorrow right where you live? Tell you exactly which neighborhoods it would engulf and how fast it would do it. The first thing you would do is talk with your loved ones and make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a wildfire will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you make a plan anyway? Visit TNEMA.org and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. I got carried away in the thing, and I looked up, and I was like, ooh. And when
yeah,
I,
y'all having healthy discussion in there.
We're just chatting up. I guess I forgot Robin was an alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if anybody.
Yeah, I think we saw her at, was it homecoming? Was the last time? What was it when we saw you outside?
It was at homecoming.
Homecoming.
I was celebrating 30 years of Delta Sigma Theta.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I just don't look it. I look 30.
Yeah.
That's why it's so confusing.
You do. But, you know, thank the Lord for that. Because that means, and that's one of the things about us as black women. If we take care of ourselves, we can look good for years to come.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's entirely up to us. And that means inside, outside. Let me reintroduce the table for you this morning. Reverend Paula Smith of Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church is here. Reverend Ralph Thompson of Howard Congregational Church is with us, and Reverend Robin Kimball, chaplain at Mary Medical College. Now, Reverend Smith, you've been at Gordon for since July.
Yes.
And who was there before you? Because I think... It was
Reverend Charles White was there, and then an interim, Reverend Dotson, who is the general secretary of one of our agencies.
Okay. So Gordon is one. There's quite a few United Methodist churches in Nashville, isn't there?
Yes, there are quite a few United Methodist churches here. Gordon is the largest of the African-American churches here in the conference.
And give the address and the time and all that for people.
Our address is right down the street, 2334 Herman Street.
Uh-huh.
Our worship service is at 10 a.m. We have Sunday school at 9 a.m., and we offer a Bible study almost every day of the week.
Oh, every day?
Yes, Monday through Thursday, and then we have community
service. You're busy then.
By the grace of God, we have some wonderful lay people who assist with that ministry. Yes. So we're really blessed.
Well, we are today having you with us, and I'm so glad that you are here because you are engaging Gordon in some new area, new territory, and diversity and things of that nature. And how's that going with you?
It is going well. As serving as the first female pastor, that always, you know, is, the first female pastor at Gordon, senior pastor.
Uh-huh.
But Gordon has been on the front end.
Yeah.
20 years ago, they were the first church in the conference that accepted a cross-racial appointment when they had a female Caucasian pastor as an associate.
Uh-huh.
So this isn't new for Gordon. It's just new in this role as senior pastor. One of the things I asked as I came to Gordon is, how prepared are we to embrace the new neighbors that God is giving to us? I think that's a challenge for all of our churches at this time. Mm-hmm. We say, who is my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, sometimes as churches, we become very internally focused,
mm-hmm.
and community is happening around us. And so we need to be on the cutting edge of ministry, listening to God. God, how do we engage, interact with all of your children, even if they do not look like us, if they are not of the same socioeconomic status as us? We're all children of God.
Amen.
And so we're exploring that and open to what God will do. When I was served in Brentwood, I was the first African-American pastor in a Caucasian church.
Okay.
And we were able, by the grace of God.
So you have experience in that area.
Yes. Going the other direction.
Yeah.
It's all created by God, and it's really a joy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yes, to move us out of our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And I think the example of the community of the African-American family gives us a great example. If you think back to growing up, grandma, grandpa accepted everybody.
Yeah, truly.
And into the household.
Yeah, truly.
And so it didn't matter, you know, color of your skin or a lot of the other things that we look at today.
Yeah.
So.
And many of us still do it. You know, we were raised in it and still understand that. And generationally, I hope we do pass that on to the next generation. I do. I really do. Did you know either of the two other reverends here?
Yes, I know Reverend Kimbrough because we're she's in the Methodist denomination as well.
Oh, are you?
And so we've known each other.
Yeah.
We've worked on.
We've known each other for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, prior to when I first moved to Nashville about 12 years ago, I was actually youth and young adult pastor at Clark Memorial.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you got some Nashville in and out here.
Yeah,
yes.
That's where I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, from Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're a member of?
I am a member of the Tennessee Conference.
Okay.
United Methodist Church. I had pastored a church in Chevyville called Scott. For about 17 years.
Okay.
So I am not reappointed to a church. I have an extension ministry.
Okay, gotcha.
And so in the Methodist church, you can be appointed to a church or you can have another type of non-traditional right. church appointment.
Got it.
So this year, my church appointment is with the Elam Center. So okay. I'm doing wraparound services.
Oh, okay.
So I might catch you at another service before I go over okay. to the Elam Center.
Okay. All right.
So that's kind of been my worship experience.
Okay.
And
did you know Reverend Thompson?
I did not.
Okay.
Pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure
congratulations,
meeting you as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
He's a distinguished former educator, always mm-hmm. educator.
Well,
33
you.
Years, Metro
yeah.
Schools.
Yeah, I can tell you still keeps up.
Yeah.
He's tired. He's on it.
Yeah. And before you came, we were having kind of a discussion in that realm, so I may revisit that to get different, get your opinions and thoughts. And Reverend Ralph Thompson of Howard Congregational Church is located at
2802 Buchanan Street, also not too far from here, right on the corner of what was Schrader Lane there, uh-huh. 28th Avenue. So we begin Sunday school at 10 a.m.,
okay.
10 a.m. to 10:40. We have morning worship at 11 a.m. Bible study right now is at noon, mm-hmm. and when the daylight saving time come back in, we'll have two Bible studies at noon and at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. So come
okay.
on out and worship with us and learn, live, let's teach and grow together.
Amen. Okay. Now, being so it's congregational church, you're non-denominational then, correct?
UCC is a United Church of Christ. It's,
oh, okay.
It's not your typical Church of Christ,
uh-huh.
but one of the things that stands out about the UCC is that it's open, diversity is wide open, and
uh-huh.
we believe that all children are God's children, and,
yeah.
and so we welcome all of God's children in, yeah.
And I think your church is where the lovely Miss Connie Florence is in the music ministry.
She is a part of our choir, and I'm telling you, we have a small choir,
uh-huh.
But it is very spiritual. I can tell you that we rock.
Well, that's what I had heard.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so they be jamming over there, huh? And so if someone is listening, so moved to see, hear more to your service, etc. It starts at what time?
Service starts, worship starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday
okay.
mornings and Sunday school at 10 a.m.
And if somebody's coming from Clarksville Highway, you're kind of sort of close by that golf course, right?
Oh, yeah, right across the street.
Okay.
Pied Rose Grounds Club, right
oh,
across the street.
I know what that church is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
right across the street.
Yeah.
It's the small A-frame church. The El Dorado Motel used to sit right on
yeah.
the other corner from us there.
They tore that down, right?
Yeah, we're still celebrating that. We were actually founded right here in Fisher University campus.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Right
okay.
here. Yeah, we started.
Your
right
church
here.
Was?
Right here on Fisher University campus.
Really?
Yes.
When was
yeah.
that?
Back in the 1800s. General O.O. Howard was the first pastor way back then, and a number of our members, the House family,
mm-hmm.
Beth House.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they and her sister Gail, they're all,
mm-hmm.
Well, Beth has passed on, but Gail is still there with us, and
mm-hmm.
We're very prominent from Fisher University.
I've spoken at your church before.
Okay.
Beth House invited me to speak.
Okay.
For
yeah.
a youth at peace.
Yeah, Beth would work with our youth.
Yeah. And I think at that time I wasn't a preacher. She invited me to speak, and she gave me a journal as a gift. And I think I preached on God is the real thing, because the Coke advertisement was like Coke is the real thing back then.
Yeah.
Yes, I have spoken at your church.
Well, maybe we'll look at having you back. How about that?
That was
our,
like
our pulpit
one of the first
is open.
Times.
We, I mean, yeah. we believe that people have something to say, and we try to get the word out, the message out of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, God says spread the word, so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, and I'm going to come back
wonderful.
Through, but on this, are you having Black History Month programming and stuff?
We will have each Sunday. We will have Miss Kay Kirkpatrick will handle our Black History program. Each Sunday we will have something relative to Black History. I'm going to actually have a little sermon today, kind of a preempt today, talking about the House Divided speech that Abraham Lincoln spoke about back in the 1800s. So we're going to do a little preempt into that today.
All right. Well, be sure for you, both of you, if you have programs and stuff, for Black History Month, send them to me early, so that I can put them in the church announcements. And sometimes churches, you know, they send them to me the week or a couple of days in advance, and I'm like, "What y'all want me to do with this?" Because I mean, it's too late. I need to, you know, tell people in advance because folks make plans. And please do that. And does your church have?
Yes, we will. This year the theme for Black History Month is celebrating the Voting Rights Act and voting. And so the NAACP on the 15th at 12:30 will have will be voter registration. We're trying to get the licensing to get the new. So there'll be several services that will be available. The other thing we're really excited about is being able to celebrate our history within the church. We're really blessed to have persons who are in their 80s, in their 90s, and even a 100-year-old member that we want to be able to share their story.
Sure.
So we will be challenging our youth to do short interviews and then celebrating the history of our seniors as part of Black History Month.
And open to the public, I'm certain.
The one on the 15th, yes. It's always open to the public, yes.
Okay.
But on the 15th, and I'll be certain to send you that information. We're still working out the details, but that date is accurate on the 15th.
Okay, excellent.
And then we will send you that information.
Okay.
And thank you in advance for advertising this community.
Well, I know the church. I know y'all listening. This is live to, live and local on Sunday morning in Nashville. I know you're listening, okay? And that's real. Because some stuff is just, you know, let me turn it on. Let me see what they're saying, who's in there, what they're talking about. And Reverend Kimbrough does the chaplain's office or as the Elam programs, do they have something set aside for to honor Black History Month?
Absolutely. We'll be kicking off Black History Month with a doctoral gala with the medical school and Dr. James E. K. Hildreth, who is the president and CEO of Meharry Medical College, will be the speaker of that event. And we're also participating with the annual Spirit of the Dream Gala, which is a big fundraiser for St. Jude. And St. Jude is very connected roots in Black history. And at this particular gala, we will be honoring about five pastors in Nashville, including Dr. Judy Cummings, Pastor Faison, Dr. Drumright over at Temple, Bishop Walker. And so we're excited about this opportunity to share, and Pastor Maxwell at Lake Providence. So, yeah, we'll be engaged. That is going to be February 1st.
Oh, wow.
And it is going to be, it's actually this Saturday.
Right.
This month has gone by.
Yes.
So it's a pretty nice event. So I'll keep you posted this week on that. So, so last year, it's a partnership also with the National Panhellenic Council. And some other community folks getting together to raise money for St. Jude and to celebrate Black History Month. So that'll be the kickoff for that event. And, of course, St. Jude is located in Memphis. And Dr. Hildreth serves on the board of St. Jude. And so we're very much supportive of that effort. So so we'll be celebrating our medical students on February 1st and St. Jude.
Excellent.
As we kick off Black History Month.
Yeah.
Also, as a part of February, Meharry has its annual Go Red event, which focuses on heart health. It is a breakfast that will occur on February 22nd.
Okay.
It is free.
So if you Google Go Red Meharry, you can get the Eventbrite, and you can sign up for free. And we're going to have some fabulous doctors talking about heart health and its relationship with oral health.
So that means there's not going to be any bacon or sausage at this, because they talk about
No, it's not going to be any bacon or sausage at that, but it will be some things that are healthy for you and some wonderful information about heart health. This is a free event, so I encourage you to go online to register and to get this information. We have had a lot of people in the past that have come to this event and gotten some help, and they were it helped with heart attack prevention.
Heart issues are rampant in the Black community.
And especially among women, and particularly African-American women. So the Go Red is focused on African-American women raising awareness about heart health.
Definitely. And tied to diet, you know, diabetes and
absolutely. Kidney function, all of that. I didn't even know. I had gone to a Go Red event. I didn't know kidney function was related to heart. It was an indicator of a risk for heart attack.
Wow.
And so these are things that you learn at this symposium.
Sure. Yeah.
And we do have some people who are heart attack survivors who will be sharing their stories as well. So it's a free event. So if you want to make your way out, your churches, faith communities, and your listening audience.
So you all have heard already a few things that you can put in your Black History Month planner. You know, some of you make the rounds. Some of you wear your outfits. Put on your African outfit you got from the islands or something. You know, you wear your headpieces. And some Sundays in some churches, they have those, et cetera. So be sure to send your information to us, and we'll mention it on the church announcements. And do you have another one?
I'd like to make a correction. That date for the event, it's February 16th.
Oh,
not 16th. The 15th. Yes, it's on a Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you all, and I know I'm like, here I go trying to start some mess. Every year people say, and I Black folks, would y'all stop saying this? Do we still need to celebrate Black History Month? So if we can quit perpetuating the foolishness, it might not take place. So I want y'all to respond so I can say what the preacher said. Because I know what I say when somebody says that to me. Anyway, it's the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of January. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
For the next Jazz Night in America, music from Wayne Shorter with the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra. And we peer inside the mind of the saxophonist and composer.
Jazz, to me, means, I dare you, break through this wall, break through that, no matter what.
I'm Christian McBride. That's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Silver Sands Soul Food Cafe at 937 Locklear Street. Enjoy home-style breakfast and lunch open Tuesday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Silver Sands, featuring popular family recipes passed down three generations, including smothered pork chops, potatoes and onions, salmon croquettes, fried chicken, mac and cheese, greens, hot water, cornbread, and so much more. Silver Sands, 937 Locklear Street, just like Mama used to make. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. For more information, visit SilverSandsNashville.com.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This morning, the Pastor's Roundtable for January, and Reverend Ralph Thompson of Howard Congregational Church is among my trio of pastors this morning. And I asked the question, and I did give you all a couple of minutes to think about it. And we laughed when the microphones went off. what do you say, or how do you feel when people say, do we still need to celebrate Black History Month?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, why not? I mean, the history is... It's not just about yesterday, it's about today. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that Black folks are still making history mm-hmm. every day. We often hear about the violence and the things that are not so good, but we have a number of people still making history right today. Our young mm-hmm. people, we have a number of young people which often are not highlighted enough mm-hmm. because sometimes the cloud overshadows the sun. But absolutely, it should be a thing that we continue and never, ever stop it.
Right. And never consider it either.
In fact, it should be celebrated every day. Amen. And we as Black folk need to learn that we not only need to come together in the month of March, but how about January and February mm-hmm. and April and May and June and throughout 365 days. Yeah. I really love McDonald's slogan when they said 365 days Black. Yes.
Yeah.
No need to stop it now. This train needs to continue to roll.
Absolutely. What about you, Reverend Kimball?
I think it's important to celebrate Black History Month and to put an emphasis on the contributions of African Americans to the community mm-hmm. and raise awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good for reaffirming self-esteem. We're living in times now where children, especially African American children, mm-hmm. Are struggling with self-esteem issues. And I think it is good for them to be exposed to the accomplishments of African Americans mm-hmm. and to see African Americans doing things because it lets them know that
True.
They can do it too.
True.
So looking at Val Demings mm-hmm. chairing the impeachment hearings and her role, I mean, a child could look at her and say,
yeah.
I can do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Hakeem Jeffries as well. He's an orator for sure. That man can speak. And it seems as though he has a lot memorized.
You heard the Black church coming out, huh?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
You clearly tell that he was out of the Black church.
No, he was from the womb of somebody Black.
Yeah.
Okay, for real. And what about you, Reverend Smith?
Well, I think we'll need to study our history until it's at a point where it's not Black history, but it's considered in the mainstream as a part of all of our history.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, at being an educator, I think it's important to consider who wrote the books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in the history as recorded in many spaces, the history of African Americans is not recorded or
right.
has been downplayed.
Right. Right.
I think it's also important that we as African American people share our stories.
Sure.
We cannot just depend upon the education system to educate our children about our history. We
right.
need to remind them of who they are as children of God.
Yes.
And that as children of God, who they are as a people, the blood that is running through their veins,
sure.
and how even in Africa, they are the children of kings and queens.
Yeah.
Because if all they have is what we see on the television,
Lord.
What we read
yeah.
In the newspapers, then they may think that they are less
right,
than.
Right.
And that, too, is inconsistent with mm-hmm. who God created them to be
yeah.
as made in his image.
Right.
And so I just go back to that first statement. Until our history is recorded and
accurately,
state it as history, all
right.
of our histories, there is a need.
Yeah.
And we should take on that onus and make sure we are educating our children and all children, not just our children.
Yeah.
All children of the contributions of African Americans and of African people from the beginning of recorded time.
Yeah. Well, and I see it in multiple ways as an education process for the larger community to know more, because they've been spoon-fed such craziness about us.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many stereotypes that can be broken.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the more you know, the better off you're going to be. And it helps them to learn more and maybe have a little more respect for our history as we have for theirs. And something that really also concerns me greatly is the revisionist history that has been going on in terms of how we're left out of, as you just mentioned, Reverend Smith, we were left out of the Bible. I mean, you don't get any more basic than that back in the founding of this country to keep people in bondage. So how dare we forget from whence we've come?
That's good.
And I hope we never do. I hope
right.
we never do. And Reverend Thompson, because of we started into talking about education and et cetera, there was a story on the news about the incarceration rate of 37208. And I don't know if you're in 208 or not, because we're sitting in it. Are
yeah.
you? Are you?
Yeah, it's the highest incarceration rate in the city, and it ranks very high in the nation.
Well, here's what I don't get. And maybe I just need to see the reports. Mm-hmm. There are some affluent Germantown.
Yes.
You got to have some dough to live in Germantown. So I mean,
now you do.
Okay.
Now you do. There was a time when Germantown was pretty much... it was white, and then it was largely
right.
black impoverished area.
And I'm going to do more homework on this study, because I every time the 37208 is brought up, and it's always the highest this, the highest diabetes, the highest blood pressure, the highest arrest, it's always the highest in the country. And I'm like, and this where I work over here? I mean, it just seems, and all these faith institutions and all these educational institutions and so I mean, for somebody that spends a lot of their life in, I don't live on in 208, but I spend a lot of time in it at work. So when you hear studies like that, as someone whose church is in it, how do you feel?
Well, it's not flattering, to say the least.
Yeah.
I think what we have to do for that zip code and for all zip codes, I want to go back to something that Reverend Smith said. When we begin to educate people, we need to educate more than just our people. Because the little white child sitting beside our children need to understand the importance of our contribution to this society as well. But as it relates to the high incarceration rate, I think if you just look around at violence, period, one thing that we as black folks do not like to hear sometimes is that, you know, we are the cause of a lot of our own issues. And until and unless we wake up as a people, nobody else is going to treat us better than we treat ourselves. This whole notion about white officers and as horrendous as that is, what's equally bad to me, if not worse, is the way we treat one another.
That's true.
And until we bring unity into our community, I think we're going to always fight an uphill uphill battle. And so it is an educational process, and everyone needs to know the significant contributions, the esteem that Reverend Kimbrough talked about. It is good for our children to understand that they may not have this, but their people from generations ago came from nothing.
That's true.
That they may have something now.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a struggle. But as we have on our sign at the church now, you know, living in life, living a black life is a struggle. But guess what? God is still present.
Amen.
And
yes.
What we need to do is we talk about turning to him as a black community.
Yeah.
And we're hallelujah and we're amen and we'll
right.
do this. And then we'll go right back out of church.
You're right.
And put one of us down. Matter of fact, sometimes we don't even wait till we leave church.
No,
to
you're
do
in
it.
The parking lot. A lot of
times
texting somebody.
Yeah.
What about you, Reverend Smith?
I I appreciate what you said. And when I first heard that statistic, I was just astounded.
Is your church in 208?
Yes, we're in 208. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, what is our response to a church? Not only that statistic, but all of those others of reincarceration, of infant mortality, right, of premature births, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But as I looked around, I too agree with you. I want to see the statistics themselves, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, to see the results. Mm-hmm. Because I find it hard to believe, not only as you stated Germantown, right, but if you have Fisk and TSU and Meharry, that's accounted, yeah, in those statistics.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Right. Now, I still, when I said charge the church, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
What are we going to do about these statistics? Even if they are not totally accurate, there are still some real issues. And how do we as a church respond,
yeah,
to whereas we're not inside doing church?
Right.
And our community around us is suffering. What is calling us to do? How is God calling us to be active?
Yeah.
And to make a difference. Well, I remember growing up as a child, the church was the impetus for, yeah, the African American people before that time of integration. The church is where you went to get, you know, advice and instruction to be built up and
But
all
look
of
how
that.
Many churches are in 208.
Exactly.
I'm saying, hold up. Mm-hmm. It's the Brookings Institute study that came out last year, and they have been having various conversations in the community at various levels on this, mm-hmm, from some people that are in it. But I mean, if you just look at the content, mm-hmm, there are probably more churches per capita over here than anywhere.
Right.
So between the faith and education. Huh? How did this sneak in? I mean, you know, I'm like, huh? That's why I definitely need to get the study, because it just is overwhelming to me that, you know. What were you going to say, Robin?
I want to say that that the study reveals that there were more arrests made between 1980 and 1986, people who were born in 1980.
Are we talking about a 20, 30-year-old statistic?
Well, no, persons born between 1980 and 1986 were incarcerated at some point in their lives, and which makes this zip code the highest in the nation of persons who will be incarcerated. I think there's a lot of accountability that needs to go around.
Yeah.
We had the Driving While Black study,
yeah,
that Gideon's Army conducted, so I think that's an issue we need to look at. And also, I like the fact that was mentioned here that the black churches,
yeah,
institutions, we all need to be held accountable,
yeah,
for the lives of our young people.
Absolutely.
And the NAACP is doing a parent advocacy conference, and they had mostly educators to show up and not parents.
Yeah.
Parents need to understand how to advocate for their children.
Yes.
They need to understand about S-teams and IEPs as they engage the advocacy for their children, because this would add in prevention of this kind of statistic. Also, I go back to kind of my wheelhouse is talking about violence,
yeah,
in the community, dealing with domestic violence, intimate partner violence. If a child grows up around this kind of behavior, they're going to act out what they have learned in the home most likely.
Yeah. Well, this in the study also, speaking of violence, mm-hmm, according to it, that 14% of the residents in this neighborhood are living behind bars, and 42% of the children in the neighborhood are living in poverty. So there's a lot. What were you going
to
say, Reverend?
To that point, the men in 37208, the average earning for the males in this zip code is $22,482 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The women only earn $17,028
wow
a year.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work.
But
to
it
do
seems as though gentrification has certainly, when the next round of Brookings Institute statistics come out, it should look different, because the people have been, to a degree, redistributed across different parts of the city, with the, you know, getting the condos and tearing down,
yes,
this and that and etc. So we're gonna pick this up on the other side. It just is so glaring, and the study I know came out last year, and a lot of communities have been talking about it over here. But East Nashville's on the study too, but they're way, way lower. And it'd be interesting to find out how all you all as leaders are going to have to tackle these issues, because you certainly are going to have to be held accountable, as you said, Robert Kimbrough. And us as an educational institution as well, you know, we have to do our part. And I think to a certain degree we do. And, you know, not because I'm sitting in it, but because of our mission. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?